you know, have handlers, and a lot of these celebrities are horribly abused in these places. I mean, just terrible things that happen. And so no one's done anything about it because there's a big stigma. You know, you don't want to come out and say, I was in a psych ward. People go, oh, you're crazy. But a lot of people in Utah have been placed, a ton of people, you know, and they're not open about it because they're so, you know, in pain, have a lot of trauma from that experience. Now, there are places that are good. You know, there's a place in Eagle Mountain that's it's a behavioral house for women. It's kind of like this, but they have access to their phone 3 times a day. The staff is very caring. There's horses. They do kind of equestrian therapy.
Yeah.
So there actually are good places.
Is there some place that rates these places from 1 to 5 star type of thing?
Well, there's Yelp and Google, and they all have like half a star. All the reviews are just horrible, horrible, horrible.
Really?
But the thing is, they don't rely upon normal business. They don't care if you give them a bad review.
Yeah,
you're okay,
safe.
Yeah, so
the place bring in.
So they don't care. It's like giving a bad review to a tow truck company.
To a jail.
Yeah, they don't care. their business doesn't come from you liking them. So
at least nobody will be sending them to them. After they see the half of a star review. Huh?
Yeah. Later on in the podcast, Scott talks about him being pink-sheeted, and they almost did electroshock therapy on him. But some miracle happened where they took someone else inside the bunker, and it wasn't him, and he got saved.
But he said there was a ton of holistic doctors, right?
Yeah. He saw, like, all the holistic doctors were down there.
Well, it's amazing what that guy went through. It's really horrible.
We're in a hard point in this country too, because we have so many people on the streets, drug addicted, right, traumatized, and they need to be somewhere. Ideally, we can't just keep enabling them. And so you go, well, we got to go back to the old psychiatric system, but how do we do it more benevolently and without the abuse? Now, granted, these aren't teenagers. A lot of them, they're.
Well, my specific. My specific focus, I don't have a degree in this, but you know, my specific focus is mostly on those psych wards that are in suburban areas that aren't taking homeless people.
Drug addicted.
They're going after
upper
middle class people specifically.
All the money. You can pay the bill.
Because
clean virgins.
Yeah, it's a really specific business model these guys are doing. Yeah. Obviously, you know, you go to LA and some guy in the street yelling about, I got attacked by Cheerios this morning. You know, that guy probably shouldn't, you know, there needs to be some sort of restraint on someone like that.
Yeah.
But psych wards aren't interested in those people because, one, you can't test drugs on them. Because if it did make them go crazy, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
And they don't.
Right.
So, you know.
And
they don't have the money. So
they're absolutely useless.
And so it's a predatory business.
They're not going to make any money on it. Yeah.
No, they need the state president's daughter. They need the attorney's son. They need those people because they have the money, and those people have reputations, and they're too embarrassed. They don't want to go to the news. So whatever happens to their kid in there, they're not letting it go public.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if you started doing some outreach little by little to HHS, because RFK, having been a heroin addict for, was it 12 years?
That's a good idea.
I mean, he has a really great understanding of it.
Empathy.
And, you know, he's talked about, like, retreat centers where people, you put them on a commune or back to the land to teach them farming skills, but they really connect with the earth and a holistic approach to really healing. Not just
What's
managing.
His name?
Kennedy, RFK.
Okay. So.
But I think, you know, I mean, he's got his hands full now fighting drug companies and everything he's doing, but I think that might be just a good contact to start cultivating.
Kennedy would be on your side in that, probably. And he's a first person that's been in great authority that would be on your side, I think. First person in maybe since his dad.
I think we'd have to make a lot of noise first in the media to get people
awareness.
Because it is something that most people don't know about it, but when they know, they're sick to their stomach.
So are you planning on a documentary or something?
That would be the first step. We wanted to make a lot of media noise, and then from there, we kind of, you know, we have a little more credibility. But I think it'd be pretty easy to get there's strength in numbers. So I know a number of people that were abused in that system that would speak out about it if there no other people are doing it as well. But in a lot of people of the holistic alternative lifestyle, especially.
You might even have the church coming down on you.
Well,
that would be something, wouldn't it, where you're still a good member and everything?
I'm not sure. I know, I mean, the church does operate one. I've heard it's better than some of the others in Utah, but that's not saying much. It's like getting shot once getting better than being shot three times. No, it's not great.
Yeah.
And you know, there are certain, there's some leadership in the church right now that has got some really corrupt deep pockets. So, my name is really difficult. My name is Dankira Bakan Kwaku Mensah El Bay. So no one's ever been able to actually write me a letter or send me a letter. So it's always hard to actually track me down, which is a good thing.
Say that name again.
Dankira Bakan Kwaku Mensah El Bay.
Yeah,
so it's kind of hard for people to find me anyway because they can't spell one of my names correctly, so it's pretty good.
It's quite good. It's hard enough.
So that I'm protected in that sense. But I know that there's a lot of wisdom here, and so I just thought I would open it up to see if anybody.
Well, you have to get many victims together that can join you and to make a complaint.
Yeah. And how would you prove corruption at the highest level? I mean, you can easily say that this intern, this girl, that's easy to prove.
Yeah.
Word, it says word. But how do you prove that the manager of the facility knew about it?
So at first, in regard to meetings, you have to just reference all the settled suits. We'd have to reference every time they have. So United Health got fined like $30 million in 2024. For illegal kickbacks, which means we held this person for longer than was necessary. It was proven as long as necessary, but we wanted the money, so we held them there.
Mm-hmm.
And don't mention, every single time you take a new drug, the psychiatrist gets paid.
Yeah.
So he gets paid not only from you, but he gets paid extra by the drug company because he gets to send back a report. So psychiatrists are not... They're not therapists or psychologists. They're their own thing. They are very bad people. And the ones that are in psych wards, I mean, these are sadistic, very, very dark spirits.
Just understand that MK Ultra was run by those people.
Yeah. So it's lab, they treat you.
Well, the best thing to do is just shed light on them, make lots of videos and get testimonies and get lots of hits on YouTube, and that'll put a lot of pressure
There's
on them right there.
There's a lot of legal stuff, I mean, lawful stuff that you can do based on the Constitution, because the way they are doing it is unlawful.
Oh, incredible. You don't have constitutional rights in there.
Well, no. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And I wouldn't recommend doing a 501c3. There's other ways. I could talk to you about it, but there are better ways to set up your organization that they can't pierce.
Mm-hmm. What is 501?
501c3 is a legal term
for
non-profits? Having a charitable organization.
Nonprofits.
But it's a tax exempt nonprofit that if you donate to them, that you get a write off.
Like James O'Keefe style.
Yeah, we'd have to. And I think we'd actually have to send people in and find a way to get mics that aren't detected and recorders that aren't detected. And you'd have to do it like, Project Veritas style, where we get people on record saying certain things.
But aren't there some of these TB investigators like 2020 and the places where they actually...
Or Project Veritas.
Well, thing is, so there's never been a documentary produced that showcases what happens inside because they're not allowed to go. And so you trying to get a phone in there is really, really
Tom
difficult.
Cruise and a tooth. You gotta put someone.
Yeah, you know, it'd have to be expensive tech,
yeah.
To be able to get in there, because when you're in, they don't want any evidence. So, like, you can't have a phone. You don't have a cell phone. You don't have a. And you think, let's say you're a single mom who's suicidal, okay, and you're taken there, and you're held there for 2 months. What are your kids doing for 2 months?
Yeah.
Rent's late. By the time you get out,
were you like crazy about him?
You know, you've got like it. You're fired from your job.
And your house, and your
whole life is crumbled by the time you get out. And then you're even in a worse place. So people that go in that are suicidal, they're seen as the perfect test rabbits. So what happens is people that are suicidal, they'll go in and then they'll, if they do talk about their situation, people go, oh, well, you tried to kill yourself, so you should be in there. But that's the worst place. For they should be in a good holistic environment that's going to take care of them. They usually come out worse.
Should be a place where they get lots of love and attention.
Last story I'll share is there was a girl. Well, actually, in your free time, if you Google child, just Google the three words child, death, psych.
There's tons of
children that die in psych wards. We're talking 4 or 5 years old children that are killed in psych wards constantly.
Really?
All the time.
Why would they put a 4 year old in a psych ward?
It's a front for sexual trafficking.
All of it. It happens all the time. And
really?
No one asks.
Well, how can they even show such a young kid as psychologically imbalanced?
They don't need to. That's what the pink slip's for.
So, so
well,
yeah,
that's horrible.
Well, there was a bit that the 1990s push where every kid had ADHD and every kid had some disease, right? That
sure
was a big front for it because, you all have this. So when I was a kid, they said I had ODD, which is oppositional defiance disorder. Because I was a stubborn kid. Every kid's stubborn. They're kids.
Oh yeah, every kid I grew up with was Curtis would have been in a psych ward a long time ago if they had found him.
I was 6 years old. Went right in.
So you don't think we haven't thought about it?
Normal development of children.
Not too late either.
But that's how they hooked America, is they had all these meds for children on, and then the meds started warping these kids' brains, resulting in, oh, I must send my kid to a psych ward, and then these kids die. It happens all the time. A case I wanted to talk about was there was a girl who was a 14-year-old girl who was being molested by her stepdad, and she talked about it, and she talked to her psychiatrist. And they prescribed her a bunch of medication, and they said, well, you've got extreme depressive disorder and anxiety, so you need to take these meds.
Yeah.
And then they sent her back to the same house.
Yeah.
Well, her anxiety and depression is not, it's coming because she's living in a house with a pedo. That's where it's coming from. It's not coming from the fact that maybe remove the source of all that, but they wouldn't do it. They kept her in that house till she was 18, and she was a regular customer of that psych ward. That's how they operate. They're not, it doesn't make sense for them.
Is there anyone that's written at least a book on this subject?
Yeah, so there's a group called the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, which is actually owned by the Church of Scientology, and it's their psych fighting arm. And they produced a lot. There's a lot of ex-psychiatrists who come out and say, I'm ashamed of what I've done, here's a book on it. But it's such a niche subject. So
the trouble is, people will say, well, the Scientologists are crazy people anyway, so don't trust that book.
Yeah, well, and that is what they say.
Yeah.
In the history of psychiatry in general is, I mean, it started off bunk, just total dark occultism, just horrible stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing L. Ron Hubbard had right. He had pegged the psychologists for, had a screw loose to begin with.
So, anyway, that's the end of the rant, but... yeah, it is a hefty fight that I'll be getting into, and so yeah.
And how old are you now?
I'm 25. Yeah.
So
so by the time I'm 30, hopefully I can launch this.
We'll keep us updated.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're still a member of the church then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? Do you go along with everything the authorities say, or do you question some things, or what's your attitude?
So I basically believe that the church is like any organization. It's a vehicle that can work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Joseph Smith was a prophet, but I don't necessarily believe anybody after him was.
Yeah.
I think they're more just kind of...
There's more and more people having that idea.
The way I look at it is, if my grandpa was a baker, and he was a phenomenal baker, and everyone ate his bread and they loved it, and then he dies, and then my dad takes over, and he bakes a little bit, and then he dies, and I take over, and I own the company, but I never baked a day in my life. I could say I'm a baker, but I'm not. Just because I have the keys or the title to the bakery doesn't mean I'm a baker.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I look at it, because they don't, prophesy. They just...
You don't educate spouse.
Well, they just kind of say common sense.
They just steer the ship.
Be nice to your neighbor. Or they'll make vague prophecies like, brothers and sisters, in the coming days, bad things are ahead. And everyone's like, wow. I'm like, yeah, well, that's always true.
You know what I mean? So clean up your backyard. History
that hasn't
been built more temples.
Yeah, I remember the big prophetic announcement when I was in the church was by Spencer W. Kimball, told us to make our houses beautiful, mow our lawns, take care of our gardens so people would look at us and think we're good people. Oh, and that was like a major revelation when I was in the church.
I disguise myself but not by not mowing my...
But anyway, I understand you. How many of the immortal books have you read? How many of the immortal books have you read?
So just the first one.
First one.
So I really enjoyed the immortal. Really
okay. Have you read books one and two then?
Well, I think you sent me Lost Key of Buddha, two, and so I've got all of them.
Okay.
But
you've listened to those audios now.
Yeah, I've listened to the audios, just reading it, I've made it for the first one.
Eternal Words is the after, another one, Eternal Words after Lost Key of Buddha.
Okay, yeah, I've got that one as well.
Okay.
So, yeah. So have you got up to just where he was, John was in the bathroom, or after he visited Shambhala?
Haven't got to visiting Shambhala yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
On that subject of the church, I don't believe like Doctrine and Covenants 132. I don't think it was written by Joseph Smith. I don't think there's. I'm one of those people that doesn't think Joseph Smith was a polygamist. I do think it was a Brigham Young invention, and I think he was framed. I'm one of those people.
There's a really dichotomy developing between those that think he was a polygamist and those who think he wasn't, because, well, especially with the DNA evidence, there's no evidence that he fathered any children, and his supposed wives had quite a number of children after Joseph Smith's death, so they were fertile.
Well, half of them were still to him after 1844 when he was dead. Augusta Cobbs she testifies in the Temple Lot trial. I'm Joseph's wife and widow. And you think, wow, I mean, it sounds like they were married, but they never met. But just because they were sealed by Brigham without Joseph being there, and Joseph died, she says I'm his wife and widow, but they never met. So there's a lot of bizarre things, and then I'm of the belief.
Well, and there were several he was sealed to that were actually pregnant at the time.
Yes, yes.
With their husbands' babies.
Joseph was sealed to men as brothers. So
right,
I think
and as men. And he said the goal that he had was that the arrangement on the earth was contrary to the arrangement in heaven, that he was trying to put people into the correct order and arrangement.
Yeah.
So that in a particular family, you know, you have a big variety of people in one family, some very spiritual, some very materialistic, and some believers, some non-believers. And so his view was that in a particular family you have an uneven mixture.
You got to read The Molecular Relationship if you haven't. It's
that's all our favorites, right?
That's what we think that Joseph Smith received. Basically, he just didn't understand it fully. Mm-hmm. It's the concept of the molecular relationship that we talk about now.
Yeah, I don't.
He doesn't know anything about it, actually, right? You're kind of like...
This is the first exposure to the molecule is...
We are not the molecule yet.
Okay.
A bunch of atoms floating around.
Yes.
Basically, we're trying to gather 24 individuals, 12 male, 12 female, that are able to balance each other's energy to the point and overlook grievances and be able to have enough soul contact that we can all come together at one point and have soul contact at one time simultaneously. And then that will bring down kind of the power of heaven and the Christ overshadowing.
Okay.
That's in a gist.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a really
that's
good,
a real good
commercial. You know, it's just that we've just been working on
no
it for just a couple hundred, several hundred years.
Maybe the Christ will show up. I don't know.
He's got some time for us to show
up. Yeah.
We don't sound normal at all.
Thank God.
It's really good about that.
Okay, anyway, we heard you were a good singer. Do you want to sing us a song?
Yes,
no.
No pressure.
We had Sal sing us a song yesterday or the day before.
No. If I had one prepared, maybe I'll send a video in or something. Maybe next year we'll have a
guitar. Okay, next year, next gathering, you got to sing us a song. Keep that in mind. Do you play any instruments?
No, I wish. I had to choose between piano and track, and I did track, and then I stopped doing track, and I was like, man, I really should have played the piano.
Our very first gathering in the year 2000, we had a gal named Margaret Leach that was really good at playing the guitar, and when we sang songs, she was really good at adapting to us, and we haven't had anybody since.
That was good.
Which constellation?
A lone solo, an ensemble, a group, a choir.
I did a group in musicals. So middle school and high school, I just did a ton of musicals. So I ended up you did chorus numbers, you did solos. And I was.
Yeah. Are you married, by the way?
No.
Have you ever been married?
He's 25.
Almost got married.
Yeah, it's about time, huh? In the Mormon church. I know I was 25 when I got married, and I started getting criticism. What's the matter with you? You're not married yet.
Well, it's changed a ton. In Provo.
It's 35.
It's not like it used to be.
It's totally.
But it used to be, if you were 25, you started getting some criticism.
Everyone I know who got married before 23...
Yeah.
They're divorced now.
Really?
Most people in Provo and Rexburg, they're getting married 28, 29, 30 now. So
you know you're younger than my oldest granddaughter?